Welcome to Season 2 of Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This is a very special episode for two reasons. First of all, it's a crossover episode with the Geekly Oddcast, making this a preview for the podcast to come. Tune in, I'm sure you'll like it. I've been a guest several times. And this week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we're going to do a little bit of social activism, because we learned that just because you could act in the 90s doesn't mean you can still act today. Hashtag April Dies. We watched Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. Is anyone going to bother to watch the 4th?
Chomped its way through Los Angeles and touched America's hearts. The second one took a bite of the Big Apple and broke the internet before breaking the internet was even a thing. Now, the biggest one yet is about to devour the entire East Coast.
I think we're going to start calling it the Feast Coast.
That's right. While those other movies wait years, even decades to release sequels, we give the people what they want as soon as it's sort of ready.
Not again. I know how this is gonna sound, but I can sense these storms now. These sharks, they have a scent. It's not a pretty one.
Sharknados have now been reported all up and down the East Coast.
They're everywhere.
Is this gonna be the big one? Is this gonna be one we can't contain?
Emerging Sharknados?
Shark again.
Oh, hell no!
Millions of people are gonna die.
So you really are saving the world.
You don't know how to stop being a hero.
This isn't about being a hero. This is about us. This is about our family.
What do we do now?
We fight.
And one by one, I beat you down. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Bit by bit, I ain't messing around. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Cause I've had it up to here. Now I'm ready to make it clear. One stop tripping, I'm out for the kill. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
God bless America.
Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, premieres Wednesday, July 22nd at 9.
I'm gonna kill all of them. Every last one of them.
Tried that 3 times.
Only on Sci-Fi.
I don't usually do this, but after that trailer, this is just a preemptive kind of ew.
Haven't been listening to a Revcast? Here's what you're missing.
The sharks have an economy based on gold?
Apparently.
You have a shark like decked out like Mr. T with the bling all over.
Oh, now I want to see that. I want somebody to draw a picture of a shark with a mohawk.
I'm done. The Revcast by RevolutionSF.com. Available at RevolutionSF.com, iTunes, and part of the ESO network.
Destruction is all it needs. No, 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 no. Run away from the Sharknado. Blood is gonna flow, flow, flow. The water dying. Sharknado, 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 Sharknado. Never has one scared.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood in a rare, hopefully the first of many crossover episodes. This week with the Geekly Odd Cast podcast, which is harder to say when you're drunk than you'd expect. This week, we sat through the new movie for the first time. Our first new movie on the first episode of the new season of Myopia Defend Your Childhood, Season 2. And we watched Sharknado 3, the best thing to come out of Tara Reid since a scarred boob job. Hashtag April Dies. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and editor of Dude Letter. And on panel tonight is
Thomas Herman, host of the Geekly Oddcast.
And on panel as well is
Matthew W. Quinn, who does both the Geekly Oddcast and Myopia Defender Childhood.
He needs more hobbies.
Hello, this is Daniel, and I totally fed Kevin Federline to a Sharknado once.
You don't need a line. Everyone has had a line.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Christina the Scientist.
Just mad.
Abby Normal.
We're in a rare position this week because this is a new movie. It was on, by the time you've heard this, it came out 7 days ago on Sci-Fi Channel. It was in a Sci-Fi Original Disaster, up there with Toymaker versus Puppet Master and Snaz Octopus versus Submarine Topia.
But whatever. You know what we have high hopes for? Lavalantula.
Lavalantula.
And geeks who drink.
Lavalantula starring Heinz Ehring as Finn and the fat goalie from The Big Green and Ham from Sandlot.
Now, geeks who drink, did they just stick a hidden camera somewhere in your house, Matt?
Matt. Frankly, I imagine drinking at the Perini household will be a lot more solemn of an affair.
Or mine, for that matter.
We're very festive people, excuse
no,
you.
I just imagine you baking for 12 hours then collapsing into a bottle of whiskey.
Probably solemnly. Accurate.
Solemnly.
Or Matt having played Bloodborne for 16 straight hours and having half a drink, falling asleep in his chair. And Abby just poking him with a stick.
A stick I baked, of course.
A breadstick.
An Olive Garden garlic stick. But at the end of the day, I guess Geeks Who Drink is just a bunch of people sitting around complaining about whether or not Smash Brothers should have Ryu.
Or if Han shot first.
He did.
But, according to the script, he did.
So. And it should have.
And Ryu, it should have yeah. been, yes. We should start here with, well, Sharknado. I said I would defend this. Obviously, I hadn't seen the third one, but I do really like the first one. If you guys have not seen the first one, don't watch the second or third one. And if you do watch the second one, watch the riff tracks, because that's what we all did last week as a precursor to this. The first one is, I think, funny. And if you look, it has a certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's entertaining, it's silly, it's stupid. It has John Hurd, who's the dad from Home Alone, beating up sharks with a bar stool. This movie, on the other hand, is a disaster. Not just because it exists, but because someone paid money to have way too many cameos in this movie.
Comcast did.
Or how much money was spent on advertising. You have to realize that given that what this was, that advertising space must have been quite expensive for this.
I just hope that when Ann Coulter got cast in her cameo, they just told her, you get to be the vice president, and she didn't even get a paycheck. She just thought that was what
the
was
satisfaction
really
of the position.
No, I just thought that's what she thought was really happening to her.
But at that point, you could have done that for Sarah Palin, and she'd have been just as happy to do it.
I like to think that they just had a script, and it was just a blank. It was a scam. This is a con man dressed up in a striped suit with a script that says Sharknado 3, and they just showed it to people. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Bachman said yes, and Ann Coulter said yes, but Sarah Palin had the gumption to say no.
I just and Bill like, Engvall said yes.
And Bill Engvall said, and he was the first. He might have been the second face on screen other than Heinz Ehring. Yeah. And you might think his name is spelled Ian. Well, that guy has a rod so far up his own ass. He pronounces it Eines. But I prattle on too much. Daniel, can you... I know this movie didn't even have a three-act structure.
No.
But can you give us a plot summary?
My condolences, sir.
I can throw together a bunch of random words that may or may not make sense. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try anyway. So, Sharknado, guy from the... first two goes to DC to accept a golden chainsaw award. That really works. It's a thing of beauty is what it is. But there are apparently more Sharknados coming. He leaves DC to go to Orlando, teaming up with someone from the first one who's now driving essentially what's the Dead Reckoning truck from Land of the Dead, if anybody remembers that.
Yes, sir.
That was a good movie. I would defend that movie, but anyway.
We're not allowed to reference good movies during shitty movie podcasts.
No, that's
unless
true.
Unless when it references them itself. Which it did a few times.
So he goes to Orlando to both rescue his pregnant wife, who supposedly has an artificial hand, but her fingers keep moving under the glove.
And I'm
lost here. I give up.
Do you want me to fill in the rest?
I'll take over then.
Okay, go ahead.
And meanwhile, it turns out there are multiple Sharknadoes forming a gigantic super Sharknado that threatens to eat the entire East Coast.
The
Beast Coast. That was really funny, I thought.
In a line where they realized they hadn't paid Al Roker enough.
And so they go over to NASA to get in a space shuttle with David Hasselhoff to use lasers to finally destroy the Sharknadoes once and for all.
So instead of in Austin Powers sharks with laser beams on their forehead, we sharks with laser beams
on their forehead.
But Daniel, how does the movie end? Is there a two-shot where someone's standing on the moon saluting?
There is.
And does his son back on Earth realize he's there and salute the moon?
I suppose so.
And then at the end, hashtag April dies. Does April die?
Hashtag April dies.
Hold on. We didn't cover the fact that there's Frankie Muniz driving
an
RV.
Oh, that Monty Python reference with him losing one limb at a time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so as with the second one, this is a cameo fest. And if we think of any worth mentioning, which we won't because they were all terrible, Mark Cuban was the president for all of 30 seconds.
Jerry Springer was in this movie.
That was actually the funniest one.
If I recall correctly, he was playing the role of Jimmy Buffett from Jurassic World, running across the scene in a Hawaiian
He already
shirt.
Drank his margaritas, though.
He already drank a margaritas.
Were gone.
And then he gets eaten by the shark that's hanging up. About a third of this movie takes place at Universal Studios theme park, which is a shame. Which is a real shame.
And then there's Anthony Weiner in Cape Canaveral.
He's head of mission control.
But he was wearing all his clothes, ladies.
It was a regular big sausage pizza fest.
What?
Before we get further, this is a crossover episode.
That's what was funny to you, the reference to pizza?
And pause.
Does that reference the body part I don't know about?
Yep. So before we get too far past this intro section, Geekly Oddcast always starts about talking about things.
And then departs from said things, then comes back to said things.
So Thomas, I want you to tell me your thoughts on these kind of self-aware social media fests of terrible B-movies.
Well, I think it's difficult because when you look back at some of the classic B-movies, you got Evil Dead, which is a movie started by a group of people who didn't know how to make a movie with not real actors, and they made something that's entertaining, and then they came back and did Evil Dead 2 with the intent on remaking it, but still being a schlock fest. And I feel that Sharknado 1 and Sharknado 2 kind of follow that format, which is you start with, as you said, it doesn't seem like they really knew what they were doing, but they created something that was highly entertaining. Then they came back with Sharknado 2, which was also incredibly self-aware, and just the sole purpose was to make fun of itself and just have as much fun as possible with all the cameos. And then I feel what the intent with Sharknado 3 was to basically try and do Sharknado 2 all over again, but we already had Sharknado 2, and given how recently everyone at this table had seen Sharknado 2, It fell apart because you just didn't care. It's like, I've seen this. I don't need to see it again. Mm-hmm. And it actually made it worse.
Let's acknowledge what this is. The search for more money.
Very well put.
Well, they bring up the Evil Dead analogy. I hope you're not saying this is Army of Darkness.
No. Sharknado 1 and Sharknado 2 are literally, are basically Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2. Because Evil Dead 2 is Evil Dead 1 all over again. It's just done better. It's done with more knowledge of how the movie-making experience is done. And that's kind of what Sharknado was with an addition of self-awareness. And Sharknado 3 is nothing. The Evil Dead analogy then falls apart because Army of Darkness, which was still was even more self-aware than Evil Dead 2, managed to go its own way and just have complete fun with what it's doing and still tell a fairly good story. So,
well, the strange thing, though, about the Evil Dead analogy that you're making is none of them were really successful when they first got released. I mean, the first one did fairly well at the box office, but then again, it was because it was made for practically nothing. But then the other two, the second one I don't think really recouped its budget, maybe just barely, and the third one didn't.
But the third one now is the cult classic.
It is, but at the same time, these were all released to these huge fanfare. I mean,
whereas opposed to now we're discussing a made-for-TV series.
Well, we need to get other people in on this because you two are just having a little, you know, hissy fight.
But sir, you offend me.
But I do want to bring up social media. I think that's the difference between this and those, right? Because this, even the first one, was hashtagged out of existence. And you brought up at the beginning, Christina, that, like, this was all over Twitter today. And this is the third one. It was on the Today Show. And, like, you realize that this is a manufactured thing. Like, when there are... I mean, nothing is better than, you know, to sober up after a bad hangover than watching sci-fi original movies on, like, a lazy Saturday afternoon. But when Sharknado came out, the name is perfect. Thunder Levin, yes, his name is Thunder as the writer, came up with a wonderful title for a terrible movie. And the first one is silly, absurd, they had no budget, it's clearly daylight wherever they're filming, and then they Photoshop in terrible things.
It's a great day to shoot a night scene.
It's a great day to shoot a night scene. This one, they were too... It starts with a cold open from a Bond movie, for God's sake. This is atrocious.
And it ends with a chainsaw lightsaber.
So perhaps what you're trying to say is, frankly, something I've said before, which is that perhaps actually having too much money hinders the creative process for what they were going for.
Well, the most legendary bad movies, if I may, were created out of some sort of passion. They weren't trying to engage a cold audience. They thought it would be the most successful thing ever, like Manos.
Or Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Or Plan 9, or The Room. They just had no idea what they were doing, but they were very passionate about it, and that passion still shines through. There was no passion.
But this is like if The Room then made the gazebo and then made... The basement,
the courtyard,
the shed.
Oh, have you seen Tommy Wiseau's new series that's on Hulu right
Neighbors.
Now? Neighbors, yes.
It's too much self-respect.
No, it's exactly the same phenomenon. He's just trying to remake what he already did.
The muscles, glasses. You look like you wanted to say something.
I got nothing to say. I like that nickname though. Can I keep that one? Or
if I wasn't plagiarizing it from someone else, you sure could. I'll still call you Muscles Glasses. Apologies to Harvey Morgenstein. Epic meal time. I do want to bring up something though before we get too far from my format. We have to talk about Finn in this movie because whatever character he was, like. These kinds of movies are filled with the reluctant hero. It doesn't matter if it's Ash, it doesn't matter if it's Han Solo, it doesn't matter if it's Tommy Lee Jones, it doesn't matter if it's Pierce Brosnan. You have someone who has to be the hero, he shows up. By this point, he starts the movie off by earning the Presidential Medal of Freedom, saving President Mark Cuban, and then blank happens, commercial break. This is atrocious, right?
It was really bad. I mean, I know we've like harped on this a lot, but it was really bad.
We didn't even have any real jokes. Most of our jokes came from pausing it to watch like bad blue screening, to watch the names of other shows that were flashing up at the bottom because it was buffering, and we'd rather watch a paused screen than wait for it to buffer.
The one thing that was funny was the CGI. It was just terrible. The green screening. You started laughing hysterically at a river one time.
Oh, yeah. That was just...
It was a clear blue day when they filmed. The bridge had washed out, and then all of a sudden it looked like they had superimposed a creek. Not a river, but like a creek, and then next to it was the same creek over again, because you could see things in parallel.
I think what was funny is we watched Sharknado 2 plastered up on the big screen, stretched out into a format it was not designed to be watched in. It honestly wasn't, because it was awful to watch because of the quality. This, we're watching on the correct format, and we're just sitting here going, like, we watched that last week, and we're still going, this is god-awful. Just...
Well,
the number of times that it was a sunny day out and they just kind of made it grayer to make it look stormy and then kind of ignored geography and the way storms work.
The only geography they got right, and this has to have been a studio note, was, I know, studio notes in this movie, but Universal Studios. Like, someone came out of the ride next to the ride that they showed up at. Like, this was actually right, which is outrageous.
That's only because they were there.
They went from Charleston to Orlando back to Cape Canaveral within a matter of minutes.
I just love the mountains of Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, and they were at a military base where everyone was in tents and not barracks.
Yeah.
And, well, that, they just got in because they're a friend of the general, don't worry.
Well, that could have made sense considering, you know, all the cities were getting destroyed. But even so, that looked terrible.
Cutbacks.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have an official gate to the
Thanks, Obama.
Sorry. Thanks, Cuban. President Cuban.
Have they released any budget numbers on this yet?
Oh, I can't imagine they will. It's a made-for-TV movie.
I would be extremely curious how much they actually spent on this. Like, did they make more in advertising than they did in actual...
Well, they trademarked the hashtag Sharknado. And I guess polar bear apocalypse and
so
I suspect this is the slumlord principle of filmmaking. These movies are so cheap to make, they make a lot of profit, so they use so they can spend it on good stuff like Battlestar Galactica. It's like some weird symbiosis.
Uh-huh. How long ago was that canceled?
Go ahead.
Sure.
I use that as an example. They're also making good sci-fi. Those are some good shows. I wonder if they all feed off each other in some weird symbiosis.
If you like dramas in space. So the other thing I have to harp on for my own conscience is I haven't seen one. I saw two, and in two, females, like, you know, killed sharks and did things and lost their hands and got cool, terrible sword hands or chainsaw hands. And in this movie, we get Nova back, which I assume she's from the first movie, and she has the equivalent of boob armor the entire time. She can't zip up her shirt. She finally gets to a push-up bra by the end of the movie, but, like, that was the only upgrade in her outfit. At one point, she just comes out of the water. They're naked. They're not really pointing to the guy being naked. She's just in some lacy underwear and the swimsuit top she was wearing anyway. It's just... It was infuriating.
Although she's the only character who deserves to kill sharks, she's pretty much a badass in that... She shows up in the Deathmobile.
She could be, but they don't spend any time letting her be, just pointing out... I'm pretty sure she lost money for every second that her boobs were covered up by her hair.
Well, they introduced her in that the very cheesy looking skull mask, but they could have actually had a very cool character.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of like went to shit.
I should have saved Finn at the beginning.
Yeah.
That should have been her save the cat moment. And then, you know, then she should have been with him throughout when the Secret Service all die in the first 45 seconds. Okay. No, I'm with you, Abby. Like, she...
It's like the sharks know who to target.
I think it's pointless, though, to look at a movie for a political agenda. When there's a scene at the beginning where they reenact the Iwo Jima.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
To kill a shark.
And then there's no blood on the floor.
I think it's just an explanation of how actually shitty this movie is. Because it could have been funny bad. It could have been anything. And it was just so shitty that it was stereotypical and predictable. Except for the fact that none of it made any fucking sense.
Okay, so from pure budget standpoint, a typical sci-fi movie gets about $1.5 million. I'm pretty sure this one got more. But I think it's fair to say, because normally there's the so bad it's good crowd, which is what Sharknado 2 fell into, and Sharknado 1 probably fell in that same one, but for different reasons for the two of them. I think Sharknado 3, because it's like barbecue. You go past well, you know, cooked, and then you go even farther. This one went, you know, past, you know, bad, to bad it's good, then past bad it's good, back to, dear God, what in the hell am I watching?
It's just mush now, it's mushed up nothing.
Well, that was a hell of a metaphor.
I have a question for everyone. Where does the line stop?
What was your favorite barbecue side? No, I actually want to poke at you with that, because I like that question. I don't think they can aim for it. That's the problem. This one, they were aiming for a bad movie. The first one, they followed the bad move. They followed a movie formula. They had a three-act structure. Even the second one kind of had a three-act structure. Yeah. And what did they do? Well, they built and built and built so that most of the budget is blown in the big climax. This one, I think the first 10 minutes were much more chaotic than the last half hour, 45 minutes. Like, the movie was very unbalanced, and because of that, it feels cheap. If you
like
want
a one-night stand.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Like however much Hasselhoff got paid to be in this movie.
For me, a movie that's so bad that it's good needs to be funny, not just because it's so bad that it makes you angry, and it needs to have like maybe 3/4 of a plot. This had so many places it could go with plot and just ignored them entirely. They were implying that the sharks were surviving in the clouds. I wanted to see cloud shark colonies.
They had random 40-second interjections of plot that no one paid attention to. I mean,
in the first one, sharks are in the NATO.
Spoilers, they had sharks living in space.
Yes. The last act, well, if there's acts, which there aren't, but if there were acts, the last act is in space. No, well, half of it is on the ground, and the last bit exists in nothing. It exists in a gray office room where there's chairs bolted to the floor because it was the least convincing space shuttle ever.
You're forgetting the shark stomach for reentry.
Oh God, we're forgetting the space suits.
We need to end the movie with the reentry scene. But yes,
the space suits, the football pad space suits, and the washer dryer.
If any of you watched XFL, it looked like that.
No, okay. So
but
think
not as cheap.
Think about how great Apollo 13 was as a movie. How well they did.
I don't like where this is going.
Okay, how well they did everything that was everything about going to space, the rocket, the reentry, everything. It was amazingly well done, and I would defend that one forever. Now just go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum and you have everything that was the space section of this movie.
Except for
that. Oh, say it.
I could swear that scene that they're in the kind of tubular spaceship is a rip-off of Aliens.
Wait.
That would assume that any of them had seen Aliens other than reading about it in Wikipedia.
I was going to say, no sharks explode out of people. Just people explode out of sharks.
I wanted like her baby to be a shark so bad.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been the best.
I wanted her baby to be anything but a rubber doll.
The baby didn't move.
No.
We'll get to this. We have to. The sultry baritone tones of Daniel will explain this last scene to us in about 10 minutes here.
Oh
but,
my.
But we have to get through a little bit more of this. Is this movie the one that tried the hardest by failing the most?
No, it didn't try at all.
No, it failed in trying the hardest.
See, like, in my mind, you and you and you... Sorry, I pointed at people. As a non-visual media, let me explain. Thomas, Abby, and Matt P., not Matthew, Matt, explained that this is a very cheaply made movie. I will change this around. This is a too heavy cameo-packed movie. The thing is, in the first one, no one wanted to be in it because it's a sci-fi original movie. So it was really Ian Ziering, John Hurd, and Tara Reid are the only people with names. So they're going to last the longest. That's it. But the second one, they had something like 32 or 33 cameos. This one must have had closer to 50.
I mean, how many characters were in this movie? If you count cameos, like 600?
Oh, yeah, no. And then random busty women ran by who... You get the feeling anytime that they stick on a face for more than half a second, it's someone you should recognize.
I know we saw when they were on the roller coasters, you had the two people that were like...
Identical.
18-year-old boys, and they had like disgusting, weird hair. And you're like, these people have to be someone. We have no clue who they are. Well,
thanks, Grandpa.
But they focused on them for too long. There's some Twitter personality, some YouTube personality.
And I'm sure the guy who was like the ride attendant was like a wrestler or something.
It was Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels from Team DX.
With his
Actually, I guess redneck.
No, and I have to disagree with you because I actually said earlier, I said it did try too hard and it looks incredibly cheaply made, but I think the problem is they had too much money to play with.
Yes.
Well, the problem is that they weren't evolving between them. They weren't making the best movie they could. They're just like, all right, those people on the Twitter laugh at the Sharknado hashtag. We'll just make something stupid. It's easy to make something stupid. It's very easy to make something stupid.
It's not easy to make something this stupid, though. You have to try for this.
Well, that's the point, though. You can't try for it. It just has to come organically, like playing Nine from Outer Space.
I want you to pitch me this sequel, because I just want them to go like, oh, Thunder, you know what you're doing, Thunder. You can just do what you do.
Here's a pitch for the sequel. April dies, hashtag.
No, okay. No, honestly, I want to know, like, if you ever met in your entire life, if somebody walked you and go, hi, my name's Thunder, and you sat there with a straight face, I want to know, honestly, if you could sit there and go,
and not tell a joke. Like,
I'm lightning, bitch.
Yes. See,
I would have loved it if they... I mean, we did this movie. Someone who watched it with us, Zach, actually defended this movie. But we did Ghostbusters 3 or 2 very early on. And it starts with them effectively barely avoiding jail. Something. Because that raises the stakes. You can't just say, we're going to space and expect people to give a shit.
I like to think that Thunder cried a single solitary tear when they told him to write another one. Like, not this again.
He's getting paid for this, though.
My masterpiece is being sullied by these sequels.
But it's like Finn, where he's like, oh god, this is my career now.
You mean Finley Allen Shepard. We get his full name. And his father is Gil, and he is Finn.
And his dad's an astronaut, so it's obvious where his name came from.
This is a movie that we watch.
This is a thing that happened.
Oh my god.
Do you remember when the Sci-Fi Channel used to air Mystery Science Theater 3000? Those were good days, weren't they?
They were.
Sci-Fi aired good, bad movies. I don't know where they
Lavalantula, for example.
Sci-Fi had a series called Eureka, and it was actually good until they got bought by NBC and said, no, this doesn't make enough money.
Yep.
They're filled with silly ideas, and occasionally they're fun. I just... You know, I was messing with the title earlier, but there was really one called, like, Demon Toys versus Master of Puppets that I watched. Again, it's a good, like, lazy Saturday afternoon network, but they don't...
My personal favorite was when the Nazis fight gargoyles in the desert.
My two favorites had to be Nuclear Tornado with Zach from Saved by the Bell, and then 10.5, which was the earthquake movie in hell.
So, who makes better shitty movies? Is it Sci-Fi Original or Lifetime?
Oh, that's deep, man.
I still need to watch the Will Ferrell Amy Poehler one. Is it Amy?
No, it's is it Alison Brie?
No, it's who was in Bridesmaids?
Oh, Kristen Wiig.
Yes, Kristen Wiig. Yes,
that one.
Also, for those of you who want a deep cut, that's a lot of fun. There's one called Liz and Dick, in which Lindsay Lohan plays Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
And an unknown British actor plays Richard Burton, and it's unwatchable. The average scene length is about 30, 45 seconds. Oh. They only had 30 days to film it. She got drunk and got in a DUI car crash, and so they only had 10 days to film half of her scenes.
So like Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, this is method acting.
And, like, it's outrageous.
They released the movie still?
Yes.
And the plot made so sense on initial viewing that there's black box scenes where they're just in a black stage apparently talking to God after they die and explaining scenes of the plot. It's
in the movie.
In the movie.
So this is like the last episodes of Evangelion where they ran out of money. Okay. They ran out of actors.
We will watch it one time and not do an episode. Well, we might do an episode. I'm out of ideas. But if we do, you just can't believe this garbage.
For the amount of liquor required for that, everyone's going to be crashing here that
night. Yeah, I know. Sleepover.
This is on par with all the movies that the chick from That 70s Show, Donna, has on Netflix right now. They're all so bad.
I will say this about Sharknado 3. It's better than Spawn.
Is it, though?
It's better than Super Mario Brothers, too.
It is.
I said Matt should defend that.
Better than Spawn, I'll give you that. But I actually like Super Mario Brothers better than this.
Oh, that's awkward.
I mean,
there was
Bob
character
Hoskins
development
is very happy with you right now, but I don't know by how much.
Well, we're about
Hoskins is dead, sir.
We're going to come out with Broken Arrow soon. That's a shame.
Was this worse than Broken Arrow?
Oh, yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely. Broken Arrow at least was a movie. This was an hour and a half long advertisement.
No, this is an hour and 45 minutes of a thing that happened.
And the problem is we've done this before where we've been like, well, you know, this is a 45-minute TV show and they made it into a movie. This is nothing.
This is an hour and a half television commercial with sharks and tornadoes in it.
I mean, Xfinity.
There was a commercial, I swear, that happened back in the early 90s. I remember seeing this. Or it could be very much just a horrifying spawn of my imagination of youth. But I'm pretty sure this happened. It was a Bowflex commercial that spawned over the course of a TV show of about 30 minutes of these, like, you know, this girl going, you're not big enough, and he just keeps going back and training.
I'm taking Viagra.
And I feel that's what this movie was just this long extended thing hanging out there.
I will say... I made the Viagra joke already there, buddy.
Are we sure this wasn't an ad for Shake Weight?
Jiggle, jiggle, what?
They also have an obvious Subway cameo, too. I mean, wonder what the...
No, that was the last movie, not this movie.
You see that at the beginning of this
one. He was.
Oh, dear Lord.
Which is awkward now that he's under investigation.
Maybe in the next one, Jared will get eaten by a shark.
He already was.
He already was.
Baby shark.
Wasn't?
Yeah.
Okay. He'd get eaten by a shark again.
There's an uncomfortable pause that happened there.
I just... For this to be a movie, it has to have things that happen. This is... You can watch...
It has like, George R. R. Martin getting killed in a shark wedding.
Yes, but making an uncomfortable gyrating motion as he dies.
So in case you guys are interested, Game of Thrones book whatever is not coming out because he had to film Sharknado 3 and then 4 and then go to a shark wedding. And
he's too caught up in filming Sharknado at this point, definitely. So...
Nick has a great point, which is the fact that this has what I would consider in any other movie, if you were to take pieces of this, fun action sequences. They're cheesy beyond all belief, but if you were to put this into something else that actually had, you know, a plot or a decent act structure, it would be entertaining or kind of make it almost that fun, stupid movie. But because this was just one stupid action sequence after another going all the way through with 40 seconds as 40 seconds a piece of story, as Matt put it, it failed. Like, you're like, okay, this is entertaining to watch for this piece, but then you're like, we're going to talk because we don't care.
You don't need to explain Sharknadoes. Listen, writers here. There's good sci-fi and bad sci-fi. The good sci-fi... has one... Okay, I'm going to quote Steve Martin here. You want the most outrageous part of your movie in the first 5 minutes because then everything else makes sense. You... First Jurassic Park. We've cloned dinosaurs. Fine. If you buy that, the rest of the movie is fine because they're going to get out, okay? You're going to... We live in a future world in which the spice must flow. Dune. It's fine. You don't have to explain anything else, right? You know, it does, Star Wars, there's a force. It controls everything. There's an evil empire. You get that in the first 5 minutes. You don't need more than that. If you keep introducing more crazy shit, it just feels like a train wreck. If in Act Two, there's a new magical force or a new crazy bullshit, it doesn't work. If they went into space in the first 10 minutes, it's a viable movie. But if you keep raising the level of bullshit, people stop caring because anything could happen. And it's not anything that could happen like in a horror movie where the monster could be anywhere. It's just, what if we save the day with nuclear weapons? Fine, whatever. Who could care less?
You get one suspension of disbelief, or one major suspension of disbelief, and beyond that, you're done.
And that's what makes a bad horror movie. The bad horror movie, like, you know the guy's going to come back 3 times, but if he comes back 3 times as a bigger super shredder, no one's going to care. They just don't buy it. If it's first mutants, and then they're mutants that are psychopathic, and then they're mutants that can also read... You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like there were 9 different writers on the script. That's what this feels like. The problem is, they had 50 people who wanted to be in this movie, and they kept wedging them in. It's like making an IKEA bookshelf. You run out of screws before you have enough nails, and then it all falls apart and crushes a toddler. There's a recall of 27 million because they keep crushing toddlers. Return your IKEA bookshelves. This has been your public service announcement.
Is this actually happening?
Yes, it's actually happening.
They're offering free wall mounts to
The first IKEA bookshelf I bought had a piece of canvas and 2 screws, and it was called the anti-topple device. So you could put a screw in the top and a screw in the wall so it wouldn't fall over.
Wall mount screws for the bookshelves or wall mount screws for the toddlers?
Please, toddlers need dub tape.
Dub tape. Yeah, you need duct tape to stop them from doing dubstep.
That was just something that was said aloud.
And I would like to make very well clear that Matthew W. Quinn does not drink, ladies and gentlemen.
But it was at least a coherent
totally
joke.
Sober and totally off the wall. That's me.
Oh, ladies
and gents.
If you
ever release a comedy album, I want that to be the title. Totally sober and totally off the wall.
He's writing that down.
I can see that.
I would call it polo shirted.
For that, I get a little more.
So, before we get to our final judgments, we're going to do this a twofold final judgment because we need to think about a little bit of movies and we got to think about this movie in particular. So before we think about this movie in particular, let's talk about these movies in general. I'm going to put my foot down. After the first one, maybe two, we're done. We shouldn't make a series out of B-movies. It's just not how it should be done. I think Evil Dead is an exception for two reasons. First of all, the format changes. The first one's really a B-movie. The second two aren't. They get some budget behind them. And you get different writers and eventually a different director. Bruce Campbell as a character, which Tara Reid unfortunately becomes.
But isn't it Sam Raimi through the... for? One, two,
not for the remake though, which is what.
Well, no, but that's what the remake isn't. Is part of the series. It's a different.
But I mean, it's just that, you know, the idea that Ash comes out with the chainsaw in hand, and they're referencing this way too heavily. And then second, parody sequels are an inherent disaster. The Scary Movies have one, and then a bad one, and then a new director comes in, and then a bad one. And that's not to mention monster movie, superhero movie, date movie.
Well, honestly, parody movies in general have been pretty awful overall. Like, I mean, since Mel Brooks left the business, I mean, obviously and Dead Zucker and Loving, it was horribly awful. But, you know, nobody really wants to do a parody movie. It's just purely referential, and that's not funny. That's not what made... You know, space. You know, it's not what made Blazing Saddles awesome. It's not what made Spaceballs an amazing flick, or even Robin Hood Men in Tights was more than just a referential fest. It was actually kind of, it was parody, and parody is not just reference. It's a bit beyond that. And Sharknado 2 was a bit parody-esque of the first one, or just a schlock fest. Whereas this was. I don't even know. It wasn't even just referential. It was just it just failed.
Well, I mean, my favorite, and Matt was kicking him around earlier, so I can't look at him right now, is Zucker Abrams Zucker. I love the Naked Gun movies. I love Airplane. I like Kentucky Fried Movie.
Hot Shots is also
Hot Shots and Hot Shots
even
Part 2.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
I watched that in a satire class. Like, you know, these are fun movies because A, they actually have their own plots. And B, they're well made. This is nothing. This is literally nothing. And the first one had its own plot. It would doff its hat to things. This is just, what if the Sharknado hit DC and then hit Charleston and no one saw it? When I was a kid, I remember watching the first Independence Day. I say the first because when future generations watch this after the sequel comes out, they'll be like, there was more than one? And they mentioned, we've lost Atlanta. And I was like, we're important enough to be mentioned in a passing scene.
Just like World War Z, remember that?
City of Atlanta.
Howdy, y'all! But like... Why couldn't we see Charleston actually being destroyed? We've never seen a Sharknado really destroy anything.
It costs too much money. Charleston is a beautiful city. Yeah. All those buildings, that would cost millions of dollars to
I wanted someone dressed like Scarlett O'Hara to stand out on a plantation front porch and then a shark to go, oh, I declare, and then kill her.
I think this is the perfect example of why social media should not get to decide anything, because it's just a circle jerk. That's all it is. It's, look, it's a guy. Look, it's another guy. Look, it's two guys with some terrible mohawks.
I second that notion.
Yes.
And there were people we were trying to guess, because it was more interesting to guess cameos than figure out what the fuck was going on.
If anyone knows who George R. R. Martin's bride is, please email Nick.
I just want to know who the Mohawk twins were in the roller coaster.
No, that was like the twins from The Matrix. Like, who the fuck were those people?
So basically from this, what we can derive is that your notion shouldn't be to necessarily tick off your fans for the exception of All Out, but at the same time, your goal should not be to perform pure fan service. Like, you have to be able to create something and not just, you know, provide them boobs.
That's why Boobs Lady pissed me off so much. It's exactly like an anime where they're just like, well, yeah, it was a great manga, but what if we put all the boobs in it?
Then it'll get so much better, Abby.
No. Abby, that's what Dead or Alive, the DOA was created for, was to take all of those people, give them DOA, and go, all right, now we can make actual things now.
And if I may, Thomas, that's what worries me about the new Star Wars movies. A lot. Well, it's all social networking.
I haven't seen that many, you know, boobs.
If they wanted to suck up to the fan base, they'd make the Thrawn trilogy, but they didn't.
Come on, Golden Bikini?
No.
Well,
no,
Carrie George Fisher Lucas asked for that.
No, Carrie Fisher lost all this weight, and she goes, I want to show it off. And
well, to quote George Lucas, you don't wear bras in space in the future.
No, you wear duct tape.
And then parents got the doll thrown out of stores because it's inappropriate for toddlers.
I'm out of bourbon. You can't say things.
I see at least a fifth left in that glass, sir.
That's Professor Hoffman to you. But I think we're just about out of time, guys. So we should go around the table here and give our final thoughts on this movie. Go this way around. Abby?
Oh, I already gave my impassioned rant. I cussed for like the second time on this podcast. I think my cupcakes were the best thing to come out of this.
Seconded.
They were delicious. Thank you, Abby.
Do you want me to call on you?
No, I got it. I can take a cue when it's offered. I mean... So this is just, I mean, it was just garbage. If you took a dumpster and dumped it in front of a camera and there were sharks in it.
That'd be actually a more interesting show.
I know.
Can you imagine one of those, like, storage locker shows and they open up and it's filled with fucking sharks? It looks like there's a TV stand here and a big screen and, oh my God, a shark!
It would be like the president's safe room, A, and B, we still have to recap the closing scene.
Oh, yeah! But we don't.
You know what? You're right. Abby, Daniel, would you like me to color this? You got it.
I figured you wanted my pleasing baritone.
Oh, it's so pleasing.
All right. They re-enter the Earth's atmosphere from space in a shark carcass. So.
If you will.
Yes. The main character cuts himself out. Actually, I believe he punches himself out of said carcass and then looks for his wife. Eventually, Tara Reid, with her little chainsaw hand, cuts through the shark's flesh, zips it right open. He reaches in to get her, and what comes out but a little tiny newborn baby hand.
You forgot to mention that he dove into said shark to find his wife and got the wrong shark somehow.
I do believe I said that he went in to get his wife, but what came out...
I want to point out two things about this. First of all, if you haven't seen the first one, it's a actually really cool scene in the first one where that is what he does. It's mm-hmm. a parallel construction for...
See, this is a good franchise.
For 4.5 hours later, he mm-hmm. does the same thing in another movie.
Right.
But the thing is, we mentioned earlier that the first one has actually a decent construction where all the budget is sent at the end, and it's the only shark carcass you actually see. This mm-hmm. one, where sharks are raining down in pieces, it doesn't have any impact because they land on a beach somehow near everyone else, and it happens.
It kind of reminded me of the end of that Rick and Morty episode where that giant naked Santa explodes and all the blood rains down across the U.S.
The giant penis is knocking trees over.
Anyway, the newborn baby comes out, and then Tara Reid herself emerges, and it's a happy ending until a shark falls from the sky.
It wasn't a shark.
It was
a piece of fuselage.
Ah, and it says America as it crushes her, which is a literal metaphor for public opinion.
And how the media killed Tara Reid. And apparently we, the audience, are invited to tweet about whether or not she survives or whether or not she goes to that great shark belly in the sky.
Which means what? There's a four?
There's going to be a fourth because sci-fi has nothing else going for it. But B, I'd rather he tours around with sexual object than Tara Reid. right? Because she's at least a character who blows up three or four Sharknadoes throughout the movie. She's a badass character. Nova is the character's name because I like the first one and she's in the first one. I could tell you nothing else about this. Like, for example, the question mark daughter?
Claudia.
What Claudia. No, no, but she's...
Niece.
Niece tours around with three friends.
Mm-hmm.
Could you name any of them?
Well,
there was the black guy.
Who does die first? There was the other male counterpart who kisses her and then dies, and then the blood leaks under the door like the Aliens movie.
And there was another guy, and we'll just call him Guy.
And then there was her friend who dies, question mark. And it's an amazing amount of worthless death.
Death is so cheap in this movie, not to really, like, get way off track, because
we're trying
to wrap
please.
Things up, but...
And the price of scythes is low right now.
I mean...
So apparently I could afford a B-movie, because, like...
You could afford 70 B-movies at this rate, I mean...
You gotta invest. These are penny B-movies. These are... The stocks are cheap.
Buy scythes now and sell them... You know, buy long.
We'll come to Thomas last. What were your final thoughts? Please.
Well, as a marine biologist, I can guarantee that no sharks were harmed in this film.
Well said.
All right.
We're done.
I liked the second Sharknado personally as a standalone thing because it was funny enough on its own. They went for broke, they got there, but it was glorious about how they got there. In this case, this just looks like a guy begging on the streets of Vegas because he gambled away all of his money to get home. It has no idea what it's doing, it's desperate for attention, and at the end of the day, you just feel sad watching it. So
that was a really good metaphor. Did you just come up with that? Or did
yes,
we, oh,
I did.
So
he sold himself on the Vegas trip.
I've done things that I'm not proud of. But anyway.
Sharknado 4, for example.
I do have a cameo in Sharknado 4. Everyone has a cameo in Sharknado 4.
You're going to be standing on a corner criticizing people, then all of a sudden a shark is going to crush you.
I'll be the guy, the end is nigh guy. That'll be my role. But anyway, go watch 2 again if you really like this sort of thing. But there are so many other examples of actually good, entertaining B-movies, and the franchise as a whole just isn't one of them for me. So, no, this is not something I would recommend.
Fair enough. Matt. Matthew.
Just skip it and go play outside.
Well, what if a storm comes?
What if there's a Sharknado?
Well, there won't be any actual sharks, and that doesn't happen in real life, so go play outside.
I was going to say, just you can't afford the rendering budget there.
But we live on the East Coast.
Play outside.
Look, Professor Hoffman, I have a green screen. I have the lighting for it. I can afford the rendering budget they put forward.
Ouch. Thomas, what are your last thoughts?
Okay, so last week I got a phone call, I saw a Facebook message.
Was it a shark?
No, a Facebook message, which was basically akin to, today I failed at science. And I can assure you, as a week later, she did not fail at science. This movie failed at science beyond all believable bounds. And it failed at even being the B movie that it wanted to be. And I do apologize for that alliteration right now.
This made The Core look like a documentary.
But that's because some of those actors can act.
I don't know whether or not to congratulate you for that statement or to hurt you for that statement.
I would take Delroy Lindo in every single one of these. Like, you know, Aaron Eckhart, I would take in half of them. He's worth half. Delroy Lindo's so good.
I would take
called unobtainium. All right.
I would take the science of Honey, I Shrunk the Kid over this.
Oh, man. Because Rick Moranis can sell it. Frankie Muniz. Mark Cuban.
Ann Coulter. No.
Michelle Bachman for 30 seconds. Right? Like, no one knows what's going on.
And here's your shark, Bill Engvall.
My closing thoughts on this are watch the first one. Do it because it's before it realizes there's a joke,
or even the second one.
You these things are best when people are trying their hardest, and by this point, even Ein Ziering can't care. Like Tara Reid overcommits. In fact, she's trying too hard. In the first one, she's all like this, and at the end, she has to kiss him, and she actually winces because he's covered in fake blood. It's the best thing you've ever seen. This movie misses every single mark. It was a waste of time. In fact, we watched it. I have ATT Uverse. It was lagging because Comcast, I guess, interfered in some way. I wish it had just crapped out halfway through. We only had to talk about half of this movie. It was atrocious. Luckily, Abby's on this podcast, and she scowls at me when I go on too long and rubs it in my face. So I'm going to cut off myself now. So, unfortunately, we're out of time. Please tune in every week to myself and to the upcoming
Geekly Oddcast,
which this will be a preview for. This will come out before his first episode, but trust me, I'm on a few of them, and those are the ones worth listening to.
I don't disagree with that statement, actually.
Unfortunately, though, I have to cut you off. Please tune in this week and every week as we put another little bit of your past on trial.
Or your future.
Or your present, unfortunately, because I will not do another movie from 2015, at least for another 10 years. Thank you, guys. And we're out.
All right.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is brought to you by DudeLetter.com and is part of the ESO Network. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman, and produced by Ann Burns. The Geekly Oddcast is created by Thomas Herman and hosted by Thomas Herman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by the Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on DudeLetter.com or at MyopiaPodcast.com. Want to help us out? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like Normia. Myopia gets a piece of the action. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us at myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at myopiapodcast and at DudeLetter, and find us on Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out. We were also brought to you today by the Sci-Fi Channel, because why not? Maybe they'll catch on in a social media kind of way. Tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Bye, bye, bye. Great heights coming open wide. Stormy weather suits.
Come over and careless. How about that? Or crazy and come over. I like that.
Maybe once I start losing my hair, the comb over thing would work.
No, that's a comb over. I have a comb over, too. High and tight? Comb over?
No, that's not a comb
over. What's
that?
Yeah.
What's this?
That's what I do with this whirl right here, this is a comb over.
No, can we call that the Sharknado now?
I will take it, good sir. I will take it.
I like that.